Well, hello, friends, and wish you a great day or great evening, depending on when you're listening to this. This is our inaugural podcast one. Actually, podcast one. Don't be getting used to that being the name of the actual podcast. We're reporting out of podcast one for JCCS Presents in our new podcast, which is The Way It Is. At least that's our tentative working title, so as to say. And I'm your host, Jory Prosen. I'm the founder of what JCCS is, and that stands for Jour Pro Company Copywriting Services. And I just say that because, and I hopefully just say it the first time, nobody really will find that terribly interesting, but it's the origin of where it came from. It was a copywriting service that started 2013, which focused on technology writing. It evolved a few years later into something completely different, science fiction writing. And it was 2015, roughly, when we did our first video on YouTube, just introducing ourselves. That was short-lived, however. I think it was another year or two, max, and we just totally went 360, and we got into this whole thing that we're doing nowadays, which is a spiritual journey of sorts we call JCCS Presents. And there's really, of course, two YouTube channels. There's the one that was originally under my name, Jory Prosen. You can look that up, but mostly you're going to find older videos. And I like to think we've evolved since that time with a little bit better quality video. We still have a long way to go. I wouldn't necessarily call them professional by any stretch of the imagination. But the channel that you really want to focus in on that actually makes videos on a regular basis is actually JCCS Presents. And you can find that on YouTube as well. And then, of course, there's www.jourpro.com, which I believe is in its just about sixth or seventh year, and well over half a million, getting close to two-thirds of a million viewers all over the world have viewed that website. And we're very thankful to have that many people view it. And we've been very careful to focus in on what we want to provide in the way of messaging. And I won't belabor that, but you might notice that the videos all have disabled comments. It is not in any stretch of the imagination that we don't want to hear what you have to say and think. We would love to do that, but we were... and still are in the process of really getting ramped up. We're nowhere near where we want to be. We got a great viewing audience for our website, but the videos themselves are anonymous for the most part. We are a nonprofit organization. We are privately funded. We don't really ask for any donations. We're not on Patreon. You won't see us big on asking for funding and help. We want to survive on our own and support ourselves, but we do appreciate your thoughts and prayers. And there will come a time, I'm sure of it, where we'll have open forum and allow, once we go live, once we've got this thing polished, we will go live and eventually take calls and things of that nature. But we're just nowhere near that point. So I'm watching the clock on these podcasts, and it's just coming on 4 minutes and 30 seconds. I promised myself the intro was going to be 5 minutes or less. I got to stick to that. I don't want to bore you to death. I don't want you to go anywhere. We've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. I know everybody says that, but we have a lot of territory to cover in this and future podcasts. We're going to keep them well under a minute. They're going to clock in somewhere between 48 and 49 minutes if everything goes well. minus any technology breakdowns or glitches. And as soon as I say that, probably that's when the wires start springing forward. We do have a lot of topics to cover, ranging from topical issues. We don't want to get into a lot of politics. I know that there's just so many sites out there, especially with all the politics that's going on during election time and whatnot, conservatives versus left wing, and all this stuff about Black Lives Matter and all this. I really want to concentrate on really what God has laid in my heart to share with you. And so I really hope and pray that it remains inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that you're most welcome. You don't have to be a believer at all in the Lord Jesus Christ or read the Bible. You can be a skeptic. You can be somebody who is an agnostic, somebody who has a lot of more doubt than affirmations at this point. But one thing I will always stress, you must come at it respectfully. Respect what we're doing, respect others. You have the right to be open-minded. You have the right to want to debate, but it must always be done respectfully. And when I say respectfully, I mean if you're going to eventually provide feedback, whether it be oral or written form, no swearing, no cussing, no berating other people or demeaning them or mocking them for what they believe. You have your rights to believe what you believe, and others who want to choose to believe something else, they also have that right. And we want to create a positive environment where truly people that are seeking questions, people that maybe are troubled and don't have all the answers, people that are on that life journey spiritually, that want to know, hey, why? What am I doing here? Why am I here? You know, the big questions, the tough questions. We don't want to shy away from those questions. Those are great questions, because I want to give you a word of encouragement. And the Lord says, those who seek me shall find me. And that means if you are earnestly searching for answers, God isn't going to turn away from you. He's not going to ignore you. I can tell you many, many years ago when I was searching and I wasn't really right with the Lord and necessarily didn't have my belief system in place, I would get angry. I would get livid that I didn't think God was listening to me. And there's nothing more hopeless feeling than believing that God isn't listening to you, that God doesn't care about you. Inside, whether we choose to believe it or not, we all have a God-shaped vacuum. It's just this empty abyss that we fill with one thing or another. And that thing that we fill, at least at that time, well, that's our God. And this is where it gets a little touchy. Nobody wants to hear that we make something else our God, but there's a name for it in the Bible. It's called idolatry. And we all do it. We all have. I've done it. Not always purposefully, but we all, you know what we say, we all have our vices, right? Pick your vice, whether it's drinking alcohol or smoking cigarettes or smoking something else, or just drugs, pornography, sex, sports, gambling, on and on it goes. There's so many things you can fill in the blank, right? We all can. So those things that we make our priority, whether we are aware of it or not, those are the things that ultimately become our God. And food's another one. There's a portion of scripture and that speaks that the stomach is our God, and that's speaking to a very specific audience, mind you. But the food addiction, all kinds of addictions, all those kinds of things that we put at the forefront, that has replaced where God should be, because God demands to be worshipped. And some people, that's a trigger point for some people. They struggle with that. They say, "Well, what kind of a God demands to be worshipped?" Well, I'll tell you what kind of God demands to be worshipped: the God, the only God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things. That God deserves to be worshipped. And if you and I, or any of us, had been there during those 7 days of creation, and of course, we can discuss the literal days. What's a day? A day, it's in Peter, I believe, a day on earth is like 1,000 days. Sorry, one day in heaven is 1,000 days on earth. Pardon me, not off to a good start here, getting things in reverse. There's a lot of speculation about how long creation took place, and I think we've debunked gap theory on the website. That would be in the Book of Genesis on the website, www.jorpro.com, if you want to check that out, of course. But basically, God is worthy of creation, worthy of what he's created, pardon me. He's worthy as the creator. And he's a jealous God, and rightfully so. He doesn't like these giant carved statues, whether it be a Buddha or any of the Indian gods that are out there, the thousands of deities. Can you imagine how he felt during the ancient Greece with Zeus and all these other gods made? Well, and he certainly didn't like what was coming up in during the Babylonian days with Nebuchadnezzar and Nimrod building the tower and the statues and demanding people worship at their feet. So God's always been a jealous God from day one, and he's holy and just. And because he can't sin, if he says he demands worship, then that's that. It's that simple. And we have to, it's more than respect. We have to have reverence for that. And some of us actually have a problem with reverence to God. It's almost part of it, I believe, is the fact that we insist that God has to change his characteristics to appease us. What do I mean by that? Well, God's spirit. And it's not just that God's spirit, faith is the belief in things unseen, not seen. So if we God Shekinah glory, the Shekinah glory that we speak about in many parts of the Bible, Exodus, the burning bush, the Shekinah glory appeared over the Temple Mount, and then over the actual temple, the first temples that were built. Was there faith required for that, for the pillar of fire and all those things? Well, some people want to return, not necessarily to have that kind of a God that is a terrifying deity. Some people think that the New Testament is the God of love, the Old Testament is the God of fire and brimstone, the Sodom and Gomorrah God, and all of a sudden he's changed. Well, that isn't the case. What it is that the Lord himself had come from his right hand with the Father to come in his lowly position here, he literally was a homeless person. He had no place to rest his head, and because he was God manifest in the flesh, and the Word became flesh, the living Word of God, the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. That is, of course, Hebrew for Jesus the Messiah. That changed everything. He came and he fulfilled the law. What law? The law of Moses, before the Abrahamic law. All these laws that the Jewish people were held by, and the Torah and the Tanakh, all these things, the Talmud, they were held to these laws, and really what it was works. Salvation was a justification of the works as a sign of devotion. Well, of course, all that changed when grace took place, when Jesus gave his life on the cross and took on our sins, as you know. So that changed everything. So going back to what we said, there is no difference of the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. It's the same God. It's the same God. Yes, is there maybe more, I don't want to say horrific stories in the Old Testament than maybe perhaps in the New? Yeah, I guess there could be a valid point for that. But really, what does that mean? Everything that's in the Word of God is inspired of God. And that'll be for another session about the controversies or so-called controversies of things being taken out of the Bible and all that. And we won't go into any of that today. Like I said, there's so much ground to cover. I'm just really laying out the map today of all the different areas that we were probably going to get into. I'm really not at liberty to touch on any of them because I really can't cover so much topical areas without doing them injustice by just scratching the surface. Hopefully that makes sense. So I basically wanted to just kind of address today that some people have a problem with God being spirit, and they want God to materialize at the moment they pray and say, well, answer me, God, and they don't understand what the still small voice of God is that Isaiah found out about. So, yes, this still small voice of God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, through the living Word of God. And God still does speak to us. He just speaks to us in a different way. And we'll get into all that again at another time. But I think some of this is a misunderstanding, and I say that most respectfully to those who say, well, yeah, that's me. I've been angry at God because I really needed him to come through for me. I really needed him to prove himself. Well, what does God have to prove anything to anyone? He's made everything evident. He's made the creation evident everywhere. And we've made videos. There's one on the JCCS Presents site called I Believe. Check that one out. It's got a lot of nature, a lot of animals, a lot of stuff going on in there, but you look at the eye, the retina, the cones and the rods all firing, and the brain, the way the brain works. It just, you tell me that a Big Bang created all these things. Just, you can stop right there about the chances and the probabilities, how many billions of zillions and trillions of light years that it would take for the Earth to even have been created, never mind the level of complexity that the creation has taken place. And that means that there just wouldn't be enough time for the complexities of the designer to have been manifested. And that's important because we need to realize that we have a deliberate creator who very, very deliberately crafted this world. And no amount of molecular magic, for the better part of it, or Big Bang for that part of it, if there was a Big Bang, it's because God wanted a Big Bang, for lack of better expression. It simply wasn't because of something that was anything to do with evolution whatsoever. And it's amazing, those who are so heavily hardcore evolutionists, looking at Christians as the people that are mixed up and zany and off their rocker, but I think it takes more faith to believe in evolution with the lack of evidence in the fossil records than it does to look at the complexities of this world and realize a divine, deliberate creator created all of this. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to JCC Presents The Way It Is, Podcast 1. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jory Prosen. Stick around. Okay, so we took an edited break. We don't have any bills to pay or any sponsors, commercials, things of that nature, thank goodness. What I wanted to mention was a dilemma that we have. It's actually a positive one. And that is we have a lot of content to cover, a lot of material that we think, in some cases at least, you'll find compelling. But our dilemma part of it is, what do we start with first? And that's actually a challenge because we have so much ground to cover. We don't want to repeat ourselves and be redundant either, for that matter. So we're hoping that we'll come up with novel material for you. And it may, you know, on some level, it may be something you've heard before. But let's hope that we can take it to a new perspective. The one thing I do want to definitely emphasize on this first inaugural session, as I said, was that we there's nothing new under the sun, and we're not going to create anything new per se. But what we like to do is maybe present different perspectives and let you decide what you think makes the most sense to you. Where I'm going with this is when I turn on social media platforms, YouTube, whatever, I know there's others, there's Twitter, there's Twitch, TikTok, Instagram, and on it goes, right? A lot of the people that are on there and a lot of the audience that follows them gets a particular perspective. Obviously those who follow quite frequently are avid supporters. They like that perspective, and that's the perspective of choice. But you're not going to necessarily find that here. It's not that we can't do it, but why do we want to emulate what everyone's doing already? People are already doing that, and there's so much of it. There's so much on the politics side, even on the spirituality side. There's pastors and priests and all these experts, and I'm not saying that they're not experts. Eschatologists, people studying the prophecies in the Bible. There's so many of them out there to choose from that, it's just like you get all these sourced information, but we want to cover a more wider gamut. We want to cast out a wider net, if you would. And because we welcome skeptics and agnostics and people that necessarily don't agree with other people on here, and that's really what Mysteries of the Bible was all about to begin with. That was the idea behind it, was what, you know, you do a Google search on Mysteries of the Bible, and you're going to just find everybody and their dog has done a Mysteries of the Bible website. When we place in the top 10th as far as SEO, search engine optimization, around the world, rankings of over 1 million or whatever it is, different sites, because obviously God is kind of the ultimate. It's on everyone's mind or everybody's lips. So whether you're taking the Lord's name in vain, or you're praying to God, or the sacrilegious, everybody says it, the TGIF, thank God it's Friday. It's on everybody's mind. God's on everybody's mind. Sorry, it's not it. Because of that, obviously, Mysteries of the Bible is going to be a pretty popular topic for people to search out. And consequently, it's a daunting task to come up with anything new. And so we've kind of resigned ourselves to the fact, well, we can't really come up with anything new. And that's why we opened up our editorial pages on in the welcoming sections of Mysteries of the Bible, admitting that we won't come up with anything new, but perhaps presenting different perspectives might allow you to decide what you think. It may that this kind of a type of approach might frustrate a lot of people. Like take the rapture, for example. We don't necessarily tell you post-trib, pre-trib, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, we'll get into that. We're talking about Jacob's trouble, the 7 years of tribulation, the great tribulation that is supposed to come upon the earth. That will definitely be a podcast in of itself. We're at this point, because we're not going to focus on one perspective, not really sure if we're going to have guest speakers on or not. I know that seems to quote unquote give you credibility with people. You know, you put somebody on that's written all these books, and good for them and good on them. I'm not taking away a thing from them. Got to respect that. Writing a book is not an easy thing. If you've ever tried to write even a piece of poetry or prose, anyone will tell you it's not a simple thing. So you got to appreciate that and respect that. But at the same time, I think we want to keep it an open-minded forum. We definitely want to get to it, get to the good stuff, not, you know, just scratch the surface. We want to get into it deep. We want to probe as far as getting to the answers, but not necessarily tell you this one is the answer. Now, these are secondary type of topics. There are things that are what you would call Orthodox Christianity holds to, like Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was, born of the Virgin Mary, and he died for our sins, and he was resurrected, and, you know, the tenets of the faith, and he's coming back again, and the Trinity, and some of the basic tenets of the faith. This is what separates the mainstream, the canonization, the authorization of the Bible from cults and sects that would take the Bible and twist it. This is where Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and other groups, Scientologists, and there's another one right there, cults. That will be another topic, for example, that we'll cover. There's stuff that's secondary that is interesting, but not necessarily life-changing, like UFOs. Are they aliens, benign aliens, or are they demonic beings? Cryptology, you know, is Bigfoot part of a demonic, angelic type of fallen angel scenario? And the fallen angels, the Bnei Elohim, the sons of God, that type of perspective. Those kinds of things are all fascinating. We will probably get to most of them, but again, they've been covered already in Mysteries of the Bible. So really, unless we can have a fresh perspective or an additional perspective, you may not necessarily see them. There's enough going on in the world right now, all kinds of persecution taking place with Christians in Egypt and China and Russia and just all over the world, really. And Christians are dying for their faith, and it would not be something really acceptable on our part unless we really talked from time to time about the persecution and the price that some are paying just to be able to walk around with a Bible, having to meet in underground churches, and in Egypt, the tragic crucifixion of Christians and beheadings and the Middle East, and on it goes. So sorry about that. Parents, if your children are listening, certainly don't want to talk about anything that would be found to be offensive. If anything does come along that lines, we're certainly going to do our best to try to cater towards sensitivity. But then again, there's some things that you just can't avoid, like abortion. That kind of a thing. I mean, when we deal with the topic of abortion, how do you skirt around what it is with murder? And actually, science ironically bears it out. So doctors that are practicing it, practicing abortionists, if you would, are going against a hypocritic oath, if you would, in the fact that not protecting life, the life of the unborn, certainly. But again, that's another topic. So, not to be redundant here, talking about that's another topic, that's another topic, that's another topic. We actually are two-thirds of the way already through this podcast, and we have a little bit of time left, not a lot of time, but we certainly wanted to set the table here today, this very first session, and tell you that we're very excited about what we're doing here, and more importantly, we want you to be excited. We want you to be part of it. We definitely think it's going to be worth your while. The topics, I hope you'll find compelling and interesting. And there's a lot of interesting things going on in the world. There's a lot of strange things going on in the world. Some of them that we don't even know about and or hear about in the news and the media. And we've played that one to death, but it's so true. The media is all owned by the elitists, and I'm not trying to sound like a socialist at all here, but it's just a fact that the 3% of the elite own 97% of the world's income and wealth. And they own all the media conglomerates. And you wonder why the news always sounds the same, is because it is the same. And the spin doctors will keep spinning it long as you digest it, long as you keep listening to it, whether it be CNN or Fox or whatever. They've got the best interests of the people that are supporting them in their back pocket financially, and you're only going to get that perspective. It's really sad, but I mean, this is where this is where all this false news talk came to fruition anyways, because we were being fed for not just one decade, but decades. Several decades now, a lot of false news about a lot of things, and it would just blow our minds if we knew that so many things that we believed were true and a given, something that was things that we accepted as being yeah, that's that. And we find out later on, no, it's not that way at all. The media has been lying to us all along. So you can see why we call this the way it is, because the way it is to someone is not the way it is to someone else. And you know, you get a lot of esoteric talk about, well, we're just daydreaming, and when we dream, we actually are awake. And well, that's crazy. In this age of wokeness, so as to say, about who's woke and who's asleep, isn't it interesting that it parallels also all this false news, fake news, that people are struggling to get the truth? You know, you got the truth seekers and the people that are fighting against a lot of this, and a lot of them mean really well. But there's a reason why the struggle is real, and that's because people want to get to the truth. They, forgive me for saying it, don't want to swear, but I'm not going to actually swear, so don't think I'm going to when I say that. But the BS, we all know what that stands for, the BS behind all this stuff, yeah, it's getting worse. We're choking on it. And again, I don't want to get political about it, but a lot of this stuff crosses over. I'll give you one example of what, like NASA, did man ever go to, did the astronauts ever even go to the moon to begin with? And just that, and then there was the whole flat Earth thing. The Earth, you know, the firmament talks and whatnot, maybe secondary issues, but compelling ones at that. And even history revisionists changing history as we know it, the course of history, about whether America was a Christian nation, or the Masonics, the Masons had founded it for that, for their own cause. And certainly the layout of Washington, D.C. bears that out, with the owl and all the typical masonry symbolism. That is, of course, something that's fascinating. We can talk about the New World Order until we're blue in the face. Everybody's talked about that, the Illuminati, the secret societies. We made videos on all this stuff, the Bilderbergs and the Skull and Bones, the Trilateral Commission, and on and on it goes. So much there that we'll get to it on a priority level. At some point in time, we're going to ask you what you're getting out of this. We want to know what you want to see, what you don't want to see. We'll open up the feedback channels so that this truly is something that you're taking part in and you're claiming ownership in it. And we really do value your thoughts and your support, of course. Again, we are a nonprofit. We don't take any funding. We're privately funded, and we want to cater towards our mission, which is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to glorify God, all the while doing what God has asked us: to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, and all thy might, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. We got the visual graphics behind us. Haven't mentioned them. They've been flying by. Now you're in outer space. I don't know what warp. We may change that up. We'll see. Probably for at least the first few sessions of this podcast, we're going to keep it like this, at least so there's something visually, you know, catching your eye. And again, from this session going forward, we're going to have a specific topic. Today, obviously, it may seem like there's just rambling going on. We're not necessarily talking about one particular topic, but we want to give you a feel for what we're trying to accomplish. And the end results is to not feed and jam down your throat propaganda or what we think. We have definitely our convictions. We all need to have different principles in place, of course, in our lives. Otherwise, we're wayward. But at the same time, there are certain things, and I say certain things, I stress that, that are open for feedback and second opinions. And then there are some things that just aren't on the table and available, at least in our perspective. But and there's a big but there. At the same time, I don't want to scare away atheists and agnostics and people struggling in their faith, because I know there's a lot of people that don't like to go to church, and there's some bearing on that. We did a video. Sorry to keep on saying we did a video. We did a video. I just want to mention the resources that we have about religiosity and how it can turn you off from God. And it's a shame, because God isn't about religion. Religion is man-made, not God-made. God didn't tell everybody at the Tower of Babel to, okay, you all have different languages, you don't understand each other, now you're all going to have different religions as well. You be Islamic, you be Russian Orthodox, you be Baptist and Buddhist here, Hindu, whatever. That's not the case at all. That's all man-made. That goes back many, many centuries, not centuries, but ancient times. Most of the, you look at the Mesopotamia and Babylon and the stories of the flood, but the flood story is also found in different religions. Now, what I like to say is, rather than go down the road of mythology and saying, well, that just proves that the flood, I'm talking about the Moses Red Sea, parting of the Red Sea, as well, that one is another one that goes way back, but the actual flood of Noah's situation, you can find, you can read about that in Babylonian, different types of records, historians of many different types of backgrounds, which I believe indicates that there's merit to this story being true in the first place. Why would a fairy tale be so compelling that it's all these different cultures and languages and different religions going back from ancient times, Babylonian times for that matter, be so part of their background and the stories and surviving to this very day? I like to say, because I believe it's indicative of the truth. Whether they find Noah's Ark or not. yeah, we did something on that too. And you can watch all the In Search of tapes you want, In Search of This, In Search of That. And in the end of the day, at the end of the show, they don't find anything, of course. And I think a lot of those supernatural shows are the same way, when they're looking for ghosts, and lo and behold, they don't find anything. So that's pretty much the jinx of it. Then we'll try to edit out that phone ringing in the studio here. We're not in the sound booth. Yes, we don't have state-of-the-art sound booth here. We're really just a very small organization. Yes, our videos are not as professional as we'd like them to be. Certainly, there's so much more professional material out there, and so some people have much more fancier software, Final Cut Pro E, and all that. We just have relatively simpler software, and we get by. I mean, we'll be in the running, we'll be in the mix as far as being able to get the what we the material that we do want to get out, and we just ask you to bear witness, no, bear with us, close, to what we're trying to accomplish. So Yeah, I mean, no smoke and mirrors. Probably could use some at this point. But as we wind up the final part of the show, the podcast one, the way it is, we just want to invite you. Hopefully, we didn't scare anyone away. I promise you, the ramblings won't be taking place. We neither will be so scripted that we will not be able to be spontaneous. We hope to be somewhere in the middle, frankly. So you'll just have to stay tuned. We'll let you know as soon as we can about what the first topic will be. We're very excited to bring it to you, and we're very excited of what the Lord has for us and for you, and to share it with you. And this podcast really is just a continuous evolution, not the evolution, Charles Darwin evolution, but the evolving of, or the fruition, if you would, of JCCS Presents. And where we go in the future, no one really can say, but we look forward to you joining us the entire step of the way. And wanted to just touch on a few things today. I think we touched on more than just a few things today. Think it was actually a pretty good session for the starter. We're just looking forward to seeing where it goes, and you will play a very important role in the whole thing. So give it some time, be patient with us. And when we're ready to go live, we'll go live. And whether we do, we may start off with just kind of an online chat, as far as the technology of fielding phone calls and all that. Although we might be able to do that through a VPN, we'll see about all that. One thing at a time. No one here is so technologically advanced that we're all going to be able to just snap our fingers and do it. So until next time, God bless you all. Thank you for joining us on the inaugural JCCS Presents The Way It Is podcast one. We'll catch you real soon, and keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. That's good enough for me. Until then, Baruch haba Hashem Adonai. May God's shalom be with you and yours. Until next time. This is Jory Prosen with JCCS Presents The Way It Is.